We're in the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you know that? We've been there about 3 or 4 weeks now. We have many more weeks. My wife always tells me when I start to plan out a sermon series, and I go, well, you know, we only have this many weeks. She says, why do you say you only have that many weeks to do the sermon series? And I said, I don't know, because that's what I just put down in the beginning. And she says, why don't you just slow down and not worry about it? What are you going to preach after that? I don't know what I'm going to preach after that. Well, then why are you worried about, anyway, I don't know why I'm going off on that right now. But we're in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to be there as long as Jesus has us there. It's going to go into next year, and it's going to be amazing because the words of Jesus are powerful, and they will rock our world. And so let's get ready for our world to be rocked. Because here's the deal. We all have a way of thinking. We all have what's called a worldview, a way of seeing the world, a way of processing life. And so I want you to look again to those around you and politely tell the person around you, you have a worldview. Now, that's not a bad thing, okay? You all have a worldview. But here's the problem. Most people, and I would say even most Christians, do not have a biblical worldview. We're not seeing things as clear as Jesus sees things. The world doesn't see as God sees. The world doesn't think as God thinks. What is treasured in God's sight is often despised in the sight of the world. I think our next beatitude, the next statement that Jesus makes in his Sermon on the Mount really gets to the core of that. And we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, where Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Title of today's message is Who Will Rule the World? Who will rule the world? Welcome back to Sermon on the Mount. This is the third ingredient to understanding and embracing and living the worldview of Jesus. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This guy named Robert Moffat, he was a missionary in the 1800s to savage tribes in South Africa. He translated the Bible into the native language and taught the people to read. And then he watched some remarkable changes occur when the gospel was brought into the lives of these formerly fierce warriors. He saw them show mercy and compassion to enemies, to the weak, and to the helpless. But here's what happened. One day, one of the natives of South Africa there, he had a dog on a leash. He came running up to Moffat and he said, my best hunting dog is ruined and it's your fault. And so Moffat was kind of confused about that statement. He examined the dog and then he replied to the man and he said, I see nothing wrong. But I know he's ruined. He ate some pages from the Bible that you gave me. Moffat laughed, just like you're laughing. And he said, that won't hurt him. That won't hurt him. But it will, he said. I've seen the Bible in the heart of man change him from a fierce warrior to a meek, peaceful neighbor. If it will do that to a man, I know that my dog will never again be fierce enough to be a good hunting dog. Man, that's a good perspective to have. May we see that kind of power happening in our lives as we take in and ingest the Word of God. So much so that people just know that if they get around the Word of God, if they get the Word of God in them, if they hear the Word of God, that they too will be changed and maybe even their dog. So anyway, to embrace the worldview of Jesus, we're going to answer three questions. We're going to look at three questions this morning. We're going to let God answer, actually, three questions this morning. Let's dive right into this. Question number one, what is meekness? Because again, Jesus just said, blessed are the meek. Happy in God are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Why is Jesus encouraging his followers into meekness? See, the world basically equates being meek with being what? Weak, right? And so, therefore, meekness is seen as weakness. But Jesus is encouraging his church into a lifestyle of meekness. It's something that we should desire. But it can be maybe confusing because we look at Jesus and we go, Jesus wasn't weak. He wasn't a weak man. And we're called to be like Jesus, who's not weak. So why is Jesus encouraging us to be meek? And one reason the world doesn't understand maybe what Jesus is saying is because sometimes we can take a word and over time it can start having a different meaning. It can start morphing into meaning something else. And this is what's happened with so much of the Word of God. Again, it's part of this whole worldview process. We take the Word of God and over time, as it begins to, we allow it to continue to go through the filter of this world, it can start to change or lose some of its effectiveness in our lives. And so it's always good to look back and just say, hey, God, what did you really say here? So one way to do that is we can look back at the original language that Jesus actually spoke this. And back in the day when Jesus gave this sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes over there right on the Sea of Galilee, he was speaking in Greek. So you could just say the Bible, it's this New Testament stuff, it's just all Greek to me, right? Anyway. Bam. So anyway, that's about all I've got for jokes today. So it's going to be one of those Sundays. So Jesus used the word praus. Blessed are the praus, for they will inherit the earth. Praus literally means strength under control. Let's see what Jesus is really talking about when he says, blessed are the meek. Praus, or the word that Jesus used in the Greek for meek, Greek meek, not weak. Wow, this kind of all has a little bit of a rhyme to it, right? So that word praus actually means strength under control, and it's used to describe like a powerful beast, like a stallion who was tamed and taught to be ridden. And check this out, that stallion still has all the strength it did when it was wild, but now, instead of being out of control, that strength is under control. In fact, that strength of that stallion has been bottled up and is in the hands of the master. Blessed are the praus. Blessed are those who have strength that is under control. Control, under the master's control. See where Jesus is going here? What he's really saying? He's not saying, blessed are the wimps, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who have strength, but have submitted that strength to the control of the master. That's a capital M. That's what Jesus is talking about. You know, there's two guys in the Bible that were actually called meek. Moses and Jesus were called meek. Moses exhibited his meekness or his strength under control and his courage as he was used by God to deliver the people of God out of 400 years of slavery. Strength under control. He was submissive to the will of God. You remember, Moses didn't want to go back to Egypt and be used by God. He was intimidated, but he submitted his will to the will of God, and he allowed the Lord to use what little strength and ability that he had. He gave it to God. He said yes, and the Lord showed his power through this man as the entire nation was released from 400 years of slavery. That's what meekness can do. And check this out. This is a neat thing about this. What did the people of God, the Israelites, gain as a result of Moses operating in biblical meekness? They inherited the earth. They inherited the promised land. You see, I think Jesus understood that and knew that when he was saying, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And I'm going to get into this back and forth probably, but I want to make sure we understand something here. When we're talking about the earth, we're not talking about something figurative here. We're talking about the meek, those who submit their lives, their strength, under the lordship of Christ Jesus, will inherit the earth. And I'm jumping ahead because that's like point three. But we're going to get there. We're going to unpack that a little bit more. But hang on to that. This is exciting. So you got Moses, who was considered and called actually meek. And then you have Jesus, what's called meek. Jesus actually was the meekest person to ever live. And no one can call Jesus weak. But we can call him meek. See, calling Jesus weak is like insanity. I mean, you're talking about the man, Christ Jesus, who was able to willingly give himself to the cross. That's not weakness. I challenge any of you to stand up and say, okay, I'll take a beating all the way to the edge of death, and then I'll let them finish me off. That's not weakness, but that's meekness. Remember what Jesus, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's the night that he's to be taken. And he's there, and he's crying out. Because remember, Jesus, fully man, lived in the flesh. That's why he understands what you're going through right now. He was tempted in every way, yet was without sin. That's why you can go to Jesus confidently with the brokenness in your lives and say, help me. He knows how to help you. He has all you need. He is who you need. So Jesus is there, and what does Jesus say? If it's possible, Father, would you take this cup from me? If it's possible, if there's any other way to bring salvation to humanity, if there's any other way, would you allow it to go that other way? And then Jesus exercised his meekness, and he said, but not my will, but yours be done, Father. Meekness. That's meekness. No one can call Jesus weak. Shed his blood. He defeated sin. He overcame the grave. He is all powerful, omnipotent. Not my will, but yours be done. Let me allow Isaiah to further show us the meekness of our Lord and Savior Jesus in Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet did not open his mouth. The world was ripping him apart. But even in that, he would not give his life, even his response to what the world was doing. He remained silent in his strength. He was under control, the control of his Father. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Strength under control. Meekness. Meekness. So I have a question for us. How do you respond when the world is coming against you? Because the world is coming against us. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, but I'm going to ask for hands because I want to see who's awake. Anyway, how many of you have experienced the world coming against you? All right. There's just a couple of you nodding off. That's all right. Like I say before, I always encourage you, even come to church when you're tired. I'm serious. Even come to church when you're tired. The presence of God is here. And you know, be here in his presence, even if you fall asleep. Sometimes when I pray in the prayer room, I fall asleep. And people go, the pastor falls asleep when he prays. I'm like, it's a blessing, man. I consider that a blessing, man. When you're able to pray and just fall asleep, it's like falling asleep in the arms of my wife. You know, we're just holding each other, right? And then I just fall asleep. It's like praying and being in the presence of Jesus and just falling asleep in his presence. Anyway, I'm getting off. That's meekness, guys. That's meekness. That's manly. Strength under control. Anyway. So how do you fight? How do you fight back when the world is coming at you and hurting you? Do you fight back in your own strength? Do you respond out of your own hurt and flesh to what the world is doing to you? Do you throw punches, yell, and scream? Do you allow the circumstances that you're dealing with to dictate who you're going to be, what you're going to do, and what you're going to say, what's going to come out of your mouth? Do you? Or do you operate in meekness like Jesus and allow your response to be under the lordship, under the control of the master? That is meekness. Not my will, God, but yours be done in this situation. Oh, my flesh. It wants to throw some serious punches, like real physical ones. We just got done with our basketball league. It's a church league. You know, church league isn't all that, like, you know, anyway. It's rough. It's crazy. And sometimes I wanted to throw punches, but I didn't. Nobody on our team got a technical foul. I just want to testify to that right now. I can't say that about every team that was in the league. So we were exercising meekness and not allowing the circumstances of the game to dictate how we were going to respond. Not my will, but yours be done. Let's be real. When we are meek and submit our strength to the control of God, this is when God actually shows up in our lives and does big things. I mean, seriously. How many big things happen because you just responded to life with your own ideas, your own thoughts, and your own strength, and your own abilities? How many, like, big God things? How many people's lives were eternally changed because you operated in your own strength and wisdom? Not many. You might get a project done or something like that, but I'm talking about, like, big stuff. Talking the eternal kind of stuff. Our strength under God's control. This is when we can move mountains. This is when we can lay hands on the sick and see them made well. Is when we are operating in meekness. Our strength under his control. This is when we watch demons flee. Is when we're operating in meekness. Strength under God's control, captive set free. This is when we can walk through that fire, that difficult situation, and not get burned. Because we're not walking through it in our own strength. If we walk through it in our own strength, man, it's going to be nasty. It's going to hurt. This is when we bring transformation to our world. When we are meek, 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 meek. So I was thinking about this then, in light of that. Could it be that if we're not seeing the God kind of stuff, the stuff that's in here, the power of God, like one of our elders, Don, was sharing earlier with us, could it be that when we're not seeing that in our lives, or we're not seeing the church moving in power and having, like, a powerful impact in our world today, could it be that maybe we need to reacquaint ourselves with meekness? Strength under control. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. That's a picture of meekness. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Lift you up. And let me say something about lifting up. Sometimes we read that passage and we're like, okay, just kind of turn to God whenever times are tough, and then he's going to make it all better for us. I believe it goes way beyond that. Because we're not here just to survive, just to kind of make it to the end. We're here because God has us here to change the world. He has us here to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He has us here on the earth right now to be salt and light, not to just be passive and just kind of wait till it all kind of comes to an end. And so could it be that the kind of lifting up that God has for us is a lifting up that's going to change the world around us? Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Be meek, but don't lose your fire. Don't take that as a call to just kind of sit back and get cozy. No. Humble yourselves under his mighty hand, because at the right time, he's going to show his power in and through you, and you're going to see miracles happen all around. The world needs a church that is meek, that's not weak, that's not just doing time waiting for Jesus to come back, and we want him to return right now, today, right? But that's not our posture. Our posture is, here I am, God, use me in powerful ways. Not my will, but yours be done. Show yourself strong in me and through me. Amen. In me and through me. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those, to show himself strong in who? God's looking to show himself strong in somebody. Who's he looking to show himself strong in? Those who are just kind of waiting it out, just kind of chilling, just kind of wanting everything to go smooth for them, you know, until the time comes, right? No, he is looking to show himself strong in those who are fully committed to him, fully given. Those who are meek, those who are submitting themselves under the strength of God, saying, here I am, God. I am yours, you are mine, I'm available. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. And like mean it. Not just like a cute Christian phrase, but I mean like mean it. Wherever he's going to take you, whatever big thing he's calling you to, okay. Okay. So what does meekness look like? I want to read something from the Matthew Henry commentary. Says the meek are those who quietly submit themselves to God, to his word and to his rod, who follow his directions and comply with his designs and are gentle towards all men, who can bear provocation without being inflamed by it, who are silent or return a soft answer, who can show their displeasure when there is occasion for it without being transported into any indecencies, who can be cool when others are hot, and in their patience keep possession of their own souls when they can scarcely keep possession of anything else. They are the meek, who are rarely and hardly provoked, but quickly and easily pacified, and who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one, having the rule over their own spirits. Having the rule over their own spirits. Meekness is strength under control. And I want to say something to all the men, specifically right now here in this room. I want you to know that being a Christian isn't for sissies. When you gave your life to Christ, it wasn't an act of saying, okay, I need to chill out and calm down and become some kind of weakling or some kind of sissy. It's not. I want to encourage all of us, especially the men in this room, to be strong. The Lord has given you strength, testosterone, you know what I'm saying? And you got that for a reason. Because God created you to use the strength for his glory. Being a follower of Christ isn't like a woman kind of thing that we just kind of get in line with. Our culture is so good at emasculating men. But the church should not follow that trend. That's not the worldview of Jesus. The worldview of Jesus is meekness for men. Strength under control. Confidence, bravery, courage. Under his control. Yes. willing to do big, adventurous things for God and obviously with God. That's what the Lord has called us to, men. And to lead in this way. To lead with strength. It doesn't mean that we have to be loud and scream. I know sometimes I get loud and I'm big and I can be scary and all that. But I want to tell you, the little kids in this church, they run up to me and they give me hugs. So that makes me feel better. I don't feel so big and scary when that happens. But anyway, men, be meek. The Jesus kind of meek. That is strength under God's control. Question number two. How do we get meekness? We're not born with it. It's not just part of our DNA when we're born. It doesn't happen that way. It's also not a personality trait like shyness. Oh, he's just meek. He's just kind of a meek person. He's kind of a shy person. That's not meekness. See, again, the world has taken a word and they've changed the meaning of it. Like it's a personality trait. He's just meek. He's shy. That's not meekness. Meekness is not naturally in us, and we cannot manufacture it. Here is where meekness comes from. It comes from God. The only way we get biblical meekness, the kind of meekness that Moses had, that Jesus is talking about here in this third beatitude, the only place we get this kind of meekness is straight from God. It says this in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, y'all know this, right? The fruit of the Spirit, in other words, the result of God's work in a life that's submitted to Him. You see that? The fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes, again, we got to reacquaint ourselves with what Scripture is really saying here. The evidence, the result of living a submitted life to the Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. Come, O God, fill me up. You move in and through my life now. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in life is this, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and then check out these last two. Gentleness and self-control. I think it's awesome that they go right together there. They go together. And I believe there's a reason for that. See, gentleness is used in most modern translations. But here's the deal. That word gentleness in the Greek is praoutos, praoutos. Took a while for that to come back out. Anyway, praoutos. Does that sound familiar to the word that Jesus just used when he said, blessed are the meek, the praous? Blessed are the praous, the meek. And then Paul is saying here to the church that one of the fruits of the Spirit is praoutos. It's the same word, meek and meekness. Blessed are those, or the fruit of the Spirit of a real follower of Jesus submitted to him is going to be meekness. Strength under God's control. And that's why I think it's awesome that right after meekness, strength under God's control, the next fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Not taking control back and doing it your own way. But again, being meek. Having our strength under God's control. Praoutos. Speaking of fruit, mango trees. How many of you are familiar with mango trees? We don't have a lot of them here, but I'm familiar with the mango tree. Some of you have heard the story. I was in Ghana, Africa, and I couldn't sleep. I mean, I went 10 days and got 20 hours of sleep total in 10 days. One time I went 4 days without sleeping. I literally thought I was going to die. I don't know what was going on. It was crazy. But one of the issues that happened was there was a chicken, a rooster. And it wasn't just like he just did his stuff when the sun came up. You know what I'm saying? It was like all night long, and he would hang out in a mango tree right outside my window, in a mango tree. And he was making noise all night long. It drove me crazy. Okay, now picture this. Here I am. I'm in Ghana, Africa, right? And this chicken's driving me crazy. I get up. I don't even know if I threw on any like shorts or anything. I might have just gone on my monitor. I don't even know. But I run outside, I grab a stick, and I'm chasing around a chicken in a mango tree, trying to beat the thing away, right? To get it out of so I could sleep, right? Anyway, I know mango trees. So let me tell you about a mango tree, though, and I'm bringing it back in. I'm bringing it in. It's going to all happen. This is all going to work together. Okay. So the mango tree, it's a good picture of meekness. I read this week. I liked it. All of the branches of a mango tree, they're hanging with fruit. Passers-by come and assail the tree with stones and sticks. And the mango tree responds by dropping the fruit at every blow at the feet of those who are assailing it. By the close of the season, this tree stands scarred and battered. Its leaves are torn off. Its branches are broken. Yet, come the next year, it continues to bear fruit. More fruit than the previous year. This is meekness. It doesn't try to conserve its self-esteem. It bears fruit and blesses even those who are not deserving of it. Meekness, strength under control, doing things God's way, even when people are abusing us, even when our flesh says we shouldn't respond in that way, in love and patience and kindness. You're going to remember that, the mango tree. You might just remember Pastor running around trying to hit a chicken out of the mango tree, but hopefully you're going to remember the meekness that's displayed in a mango tree. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a result, it's a byproduct of being filled with God. You can't manufacture true meekness. It comes from Spirit-filled living, daily allowing God to fill us and exhibit His glory and His power through us. This kind of meekness that Jesus is talking about, I want to say it again, it won't take away our fierceness. Don't let the world take away your fierceness, but submit it to the Lordship of Christ Jesus and allow Him to direct it toward His plans. You know, we're in a spiritual battle. This is no joke. It's no joke. So there should be some fierceness in the church, but the Jesus kind of fierceness that's under His control. So question number three, very quickly here. What does meekness produce? Again, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. And it means more than just possess the earth or live on the earth. It means to have dominion. We will inherit. The meek will have dominion over the earth. And check out the word earth that Jesus uses here. It's actually translated dirt or dust. So happy are the meek, for they're going to inherit dust. Woo! Amen, but check out, what were we originally? What were we created from? Dust. We were created from dust. And so one thing Jesus can be saying to us, to His church, is blessed are you, happy in God are you, when your strength is placed under the lordship of Me, of God, because you will have dominion over your flesh, over the dust that you were created from. You will have dominion. How many of you need dominion over your flesh? Over the crazy things that you still do that you don't want to do? Meekness is a way to having dominion over your flesh. It's putting your strength under God's control. Paul said in Romans 8, we're either controlled by the flesh, the sinful nature, or we're controlled by the Spirit. If you're meek, if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, then you're going to have dominion over your flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. I love that. That's freedom. That's victory. But one more thing I want to say before we close here about inheriting the earth. Remember I said before, sometimes we just look at things and it's theory or theology, or this or that, or doctrine, right? And we forget that these are like real words that have real meaning. Spoken by a real man, given by a real God that's living and active, right? About real world. And Jesus said, blessed are the meek, blessed or happy in God are those whose strength is under the control of God, because they will inherit the earth. The earth. The physical earth. Have dominion over this earth. The meek, those who have placed their lives, their strength, their thoughts, their speech, Their actions under the lordship of Christ Jesus will actually rule with Jesus forever. Rule the earth, have dominion over the earth. Sometimes we just talk and think about, oh, we just want to go to heaven, we just want to float on clouds and hear harp music, and all the men in here keep wondering, why do I want to go to, what am I looking forward to? Dude, I don't want to just float around playing harp. Okay? I want to like build things, make things, like steward things, protect things. I want to be a man. And Jesus is saying, blessed are the meek, those who are strong under God's control, for you will have dominion over the earth. It's all coming back around, Jesus is saying, for the meek. It says in Revelation 3:21, this is Jesus speaking to the church. He says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Not float with me. I grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Dominion with Jesus. Inherit the earth. This is real stuff. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. This is what we should be looking forward to. This should motivate us to meekness. It says in Revelation 2:26, again, Jesus speaking to the church. He says, to him, again, those who overcome, I will give power over nations. He shall rule them. That's what, like, heaven's going to look like. Well, that's what the new earth is going to look like. That's what the millennial kingdom reign of Jesus is going to look like. That's what the eternal age is going to look like. When the new Jerusalem comes down, there's a new heaven and there's a new earth. There's a new sheriff in town. That's what it's going to look like. Amen. This is the Word of God. Revelation 5:10, that he made us kings to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Matthew 19:28, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then finally, Luke 19:17. And he said to him, this is Jesus saying, he said, well done, good and faithful servant, because you are faithful in a very little, you will now have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Church, what we're doing, how we're living right now, it's not just marking time and hoping we make it. This is the real deal. This is life in and with Christ Jesus. And there's an eternity that we're looking forward to. And the eternity is now, because the having dominion over the earth isn't just the sweet by and by. The church is called to take dominion right now. We have abdicated the dominion of the kingdom of God to the kingdom of this world. And that's why we have all of the dysfunction, the hurt, the pain, the sin, the gross stuff that we have going on in our world today. The church is called to be the church in the world today, to be meek. Amen. Strength. Amen. Under God's control. Amen. All right, I got excited about that part, because I do feel that God is leading us. I know he's leading this congregation more and more into that reality. The last sermon series, This Is a Move, was a start into that. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' worldview. He wants it to get into us deep and change the very way we see things and how we interact with the world that we live in. See our purpose differently. See our calling. Let it be clear and be the church that, frankly, this lost world needs. The lost and the broken are desperate for a meek church that's showing the strength of God. Yes. Happy in God are the meek. Happy are those controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they will inherit the earth. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. So I have a final question just for you. Will you inherit the earth? In other words, is your strength under the control of Jesus? Is your life under his control? Is your time under his control? Are your investments under his control? Are the words that come out of your mouth under his control? Are you meek?